This is a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com. Hello and welcome to the Fun Kids Book Club podcast. I'm Bex and I'm your host of the podcast, and I've got a lot of stuff today. We will be chatting to Jacqueline Wilson, to Matt Haig and David Solomons, plus we'll be telling you about the coolest and bestest and brilliantest books around at the moment. But first, it is my book trivia question. Don't worry, I'll give you the answer at the end of the podcast. The question is this: which one of these isn't a character in The Wind in the Willows? Is it A, Mr. Hedgehog, B, Otter, or C, Mr. Badger? Don't worry, I'll let you know later. First up, let's have a little chat with Jacqueline Wilson. Welcome to the studio, Jacqueline Wilson. Hello.
Hi, it's lovely to be back here. I love this station.
Thank you so much for coming back. You're celebrating your brand new book, My Mum, Tracy Beaker, which I have finished and absolutely loved.
Oh, I'm so pleased.
I adored it. Tell the listeners why you went back to Tracy, I guess. Why was she the pet character?
Do you know, I've been joking about bringing Tracy back as an adult for ages. And sometimes I've sort of riffed away when I'm talking to an audience saying, you know, if they've been asking me questions about Tracy Beaker as a child. And I said, I really ought to find out what she's like as an adult. Think of the titles you could have: Tracy Beaker, Single Mum, Tracy Beaker's Midlife Crisis. And I've gone on and on like this. And then last year I suddenly thought, why don't I actually find out what Tracy is really doing and what sort of a mum she would be? And the book is not written by Tracy herself. Well, it's not in her voice. It's in the voice of her daughter, Jess, who's 10, the very same age that Tracy was in the first book, the story of Tracy Beaker.
But she's very different to Tracy, isn't she? She's a lot more sensitive, and she's just a bit a quieter girl.
It's interesting in that she looks a spitting image of her mum, apart from her little glasses. But she is a different girl, as you say. However, though she's quieter and sensitive, she's a little bit of a chip off the old block. She can stand up for herself. She can be quite funny and feisty if the time is needed. But certainly nobody could rival Tracy for her personality.
Jess does have her own mind. So I don't think it's giving away too much to the listeners that in the book, Tracy gets a new boyfriend. And Jess is very adamant on her thoughts about the boyfriend and isn't quiet about it, doesn't hide it.
No, I think it's always very difficult if you're very close to your mum and there's just been the two of you and then a new boyfriend for the mum comes on the scene. I think for most kids, it takes them a little while to adjust because, you know, you don't really want to think of your mum in those terms of she's somebody's girlfriend. And whoever it is, even if they're absolutely lovely, they're a little bit of an intruder into your own special relationship.
Yeah, there's quite a few callbacks to previous Tracy Beaker books, which I think Tracy Beaker and Jacqueline Wilson fans will absolutely love. It's brilliant.
I tried very hard not to get too carried away because there are lots of children out there who've never even heard of Tracy Beaker, maybe missed out on seeing the long-running television series or whatever. And I wanted it not to matter in the slightest. You can just start this book about Jess and see what she thinks and realise she's got a lovely but very embarrassing at times mum, put it that way. But also, I did feel that anybody who was a real Tracy fan might actually find it fun to read My Mum, Tracy Beaker, and see some of these characters from the past. And people have told me when I've been talking about the book this past week or so, you know, is Justine Littlewood in it?
Yeah.
She's the one I want to meet
Absolutely.
Up with, because Justine and Tracy were such great enemies when they were both kids in the children's home. And yes, Justine does make a pretty dynamic appearance.
She pops up, doesn't she?
Yeah. She pops up.
Yes, she says hello. Now, you mentioned Tracy Beaker on TV. Could we maybe imagine one day seeing Tracy Beaker as a mum on TV?
I think that's very, very possible. We're certainly in very positive discussions now, and I am crossing my fingers.
Yes.
But yes, I'm pretty certain.
Okay, I'm taking that as a Fun Kids exclusive. Yes. Brilliant stuff. Is there any character that you've written that you'd like to go back to eventually, a bit like Tracy? Anyone from the past you think would be fun to find out about?
I have had many requests to find out what's been happening to Ellie, Magdalene, Nadine. I wrote four girls
yes.
about them. And they, I wrote about them when they were 13. And it seems so long ago now because they didn't have mobile phones. Social media hadn't been invented. Life was so different yeah. then. And yet, underneath it all, those girls went through the same sort of turmoil and that modern girls do now. But heaps of girls have said, come on, we want to find out what they're like. And in fact, I'm not on social media very much myself, but there was a sort of little Twitter storm, a little drizzle, shall we say.
Well, that'll do, yeah, Twitter. That's enough, yeah.
Somebody had said, what do you think might happen to those girls? And there were lots of answers, really funny, very inventive ones that I remember reading at the time. Whether I ever go back to them and see if they have teenage girls now and how they might cope, and it might be fun to see from one of their daughters' point of view.
Yeah.
I rather hope that those three are still friends in some one way or another. But who knows? I think I don't want to be considered a one-trick pony just right. She's resurrecting all her old characters. But just occasionally I'm tempted.
I think he should write one big book and just do lots of crossovers and just put all the characters in one book and see them in the same world.
Yeah. And well, I mean, if I was told, it sounds a bit doomy, but write, this is probably the last book you'll ever write, I think I would love to hold some kind of huge party where different characters would pop up and meet each other. What fun that
yes,
would
please.
Be.
Yes, please. Do that anyway. Okay. That'd be amazing. Oh, that'd be fantastic. Do you have a particular favourite character apart from Tracy?
I'm very fond of Hetty Feather, my Victorian foundling girl. And I don't think she'll be happy to just sit on the sidelines for too long. I think she might bob up unexpectedly in a book in the future. That's a hint.
Oh, lovely.
Certainly not my mum, Tracy Beaker, because she'd be, 150 or something.
Maybe Jess can find a book.
Yes.
And it's got Hetty in it.
Yeah, that's right. Hetty's not there now. She's retired. I also, looking way back in the past, I've always been fond of a girl called Dolphin, who was in a book called The Illustrated Mum. And it would be, I would hope that she's having a very happy time now. There wouldn't be much for me to write about, but she had such a difficult childhood, and she's one of my characters that I would like to sort of sit on my knee and comfort her because it's a hard time for her.
I'm sure a lot of girls who read that who are going through a similar thing would have been delighted to just read, like with all of your books, to read somebody going through the same thing as you.
I think that's, well, what I find, if I have something horrible happening to me in my life, I don't ever really feel tempted to read one of those self-help books. What I want to find is a fiction book that where the character is going through something similar. And then I can comfort myself by seeing how this particular person is dealing with this situation. And maybe I could get some tips on how to do it, or indeed some really dire warnings about no, never behave like this character. And so I think if any child is going through a bad time, an unsettled time, or just simply broken up with their friend at school and suddenly in that horrible position where you haven't got anybody to sit next to, then I'd like them to see that they're not alone. This happens to heaps of people. And it's a bit like I'm metaphorically holding out a hand and saying, it's okay, you'll be all right. And if children are blessed enough reading the books to feel, well, my life's nothing like this, I've got heaps of friends, lovely family, etc., etc., it does give them a little bit of insight into what life can be like for some other children.
Yeah, reading about somebody else's world is a very helpful thing, I think.
It is. Yeah. I mean, this is what I like to do. This is part of the reason why I love to read books so much.
Now, before you go, I've got a quick quiz for you, if that's okay.
Okay.
Now, it's all about your own books. So
oh, gosh.
Hopefully this will go well. we'll find out. It's called The Name Game.
Right.
So you can probably guess. It's all about names. I reckon you'll get this. I reckon this will be okay. I'm going to ease you in gently.
Okay.
In Girls in Love, what is the nickname of Ellie's brother?
Eggs.
Yes, perfect. Great.
Yay!
Thought you get that. Lovely. Okay. What's the real name of Biscuits from Cliffhanger?
Oh, goodness, goodness, goodness. He's someone McVitty.
He is someone McVitty. I'll give you half a point. Billy McVitty,
of course.
Can you name the two sisters in Double Act?
Ruby and Garnet.
Yes, I love Double Act so much. In The Bed and Breakfast Star, what was the name of the hotel?
Oh, goodness me. And it's lost some of its letters, hasn't
yes.
it? And I can't remember. What is it?
It's the Royal Hotel.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Or the Oil Huttle, I think. I think Alice would have called it. Lovely. In Cookie, what does Beauty name her pet rabbit? I think this might be quite tricky.
Is this the poor little rabbit who...
Yeah.
Oh, yes. That. Do you know, I think that's probably one of the worst things I've ever written about. Scrub it out. What is the name of the rabbit? I don't know.
Birthday.
Oh, birthday.
Yes. To be fair, you've written a lot of books.
I have written a lot of books, but these are brilliant questions. Well, now, did you set them?
Yes, I know. I've got one last one.
Okay.
Now, this is going to be, this is a 5 or 6 pointer, I think, depending. Can you name the books in the Hetty Feather series?
Hetty Feather.
Yeah.
Sapphire Battersea.
Yeah.
Emerald Star.
Mm-hmm.
Diamond, because mm-hmm. it's about Hetty, Little Stars, and there's Hetty Feather's Christmas, and then Hetty also pops up in Clover Moon and Rose Rivers.
Yes, you get 2 extra points because I didn't
Yay!
Have those down here, but you're right, she is in
this. This is good. Oh, well, I've redeemed myself.
You have. I think I'm going to give you near top marks.
Thank you very much.
Which is, I think, is pretty good. Pretty good going. Jacqueline Wilson, thank you so much for coming by, Fun Kids.
Oh, thank you. It's been such fun, really.
And we should say everybody needs to go and check out the book right now, My Mum Tracy Beaker. Thank you so, so much to Jacqueline Wilson for popping by, Fun Kids. Next up, we're going to talk to David Solomons, who's written a brand new Doctor Who adventure book. Hello.
Hello, nice to be here.
Welcome back.
Oh, thank you.
Now, you've been super busy. I didn't see you that long ago, and now you've got another new book out.
They just fall out of me, what can I tell you?
But this one is a bit different. It's a Doctor Who-themed book.
It is.
It's an adventure with the brand new Doctor.
It is Doctor Who, The Secret in Vault 13, with Jodie Whittaker's Doctor and her TARDIS team, as we are now calling them.
Because, the TARDIS is getting pretty busy at the moment. Is it Graham, Yaz, and who's the third?
And Ryan. It's Ryan, a good job it's bigger on the inside, because it's getting quite crowded in there.
It is exactly that, yeah. What's the news story about? They have an adventure, they have to go and find a secret and a key in the vault.
They do, all of the above.
Yeah.
So it starts off with a begonia, as the best stories do,
sure.
with a pot plant that communicates a message, an urgent message to the Doctor through a kind of plant network, sort of like the grapevine.
Yeah.
And she finds herself at the Galactic Seed Vault, which is a repository in the far reaches of space where all the plants in the universe are stored in case of a universal catastrophe so that the universe can be reseeded.
Oh, right. Okay.
And then at the heart of the vault is Vault 13, and there is something in the vault, and that's what the story is about. What is it, and who's after it, and who's going to get there first, and what it means for the fate of the universe.
Now, this is really exciting. Were you given the story, or did you get told you could write anything you wanted?
I was told I could write anything I wanted. You know that exam question, the dreaded exam question,
oh, yeah.
Write about anything you like? That's what I was faced
too
with.
Too many things.
Far too many things. And so I put them all in this book.
Did you take inspiration from other Doctor Who stories, or were you like,
yes,
no, I'm going to write what I want to write?
No, I grew up in the an ancient era, not quite black and white, and there was a famous Doctor Who story called The Key to Time. And I always liked those collect the set sort of quest structures. And it's kind of, so there's influenced by that.
So the new Doctor, Jodie Whittaker, the series has just really started
yes.
the last few weeks. So you must have known quite a bit in advance the setup and a few secrets about the new adventures, surely.
Yes, I was let in on a few secrets, which was very exciting because...
Yeah.
I particularly like the fact that I knew what the TARDIS looked like before most people, and so but they sent me an image of it, and so I could describe it in the book, and then I got a follow up message saying, "Have you know now you have described it, you must print out the visualization shred it and eat it, destroy any evidence. And so there were things like that, which was great. It was nice to be in on that secret.
Was that the biggest secret you were told?
The TARDIS, I think everybody wanted to keep the secret of what the new interior of the TARDIS looked like. That was so that was the biggie. And yes, and there were certain character things that I needed to know backstory. But the big one was the interior design.
Isn't it funny? Like that is the biggest deal that people were like, desperate to know about the TARDIS. Because I think I was most excited to know what she would wear. That was my thing for me.
Yes. I think we got a glimpse of that earlier on. So that was that kind of, yeah.
I quite liked, I forget, was it David Tennant or Matt Smith? Like just the scene of the trying on different clothes.
Yes.
I quite like the Doctor finding their vibe and finding.
Yes, that room is good. We used that. I used that a lot in the book. There's a kind of cloakroom where they get dressed up into various things, depending on the adventure that they're about to have.
In the book, apart from the Doctor, who's your favourite character to write?
Graham. Graham's good. Graham's good because he's also very useful. He's the guy who says, so why are we doing this? Mm-hmm. And he's also slightly less keen on the whole adventuring business.
Yeah, he's kind of fallen into it, hasn't he?
Which is great.
Yeah.
I like that. And he's funny.
So if we're reading the book, can you give readers or listeners maybe one clue as to the mystery?
What would be the most important plant related thing in the universe? What's the most important plant there's ever been?
Oh.
And that's the clue. Actually, it's technically not a plant, but yeah, okay, in that kind of flora sense. Yes. Oh, that was a terrible clue. That was confusing.
No, I think
that
was a good clue. I think I've got. Yeah.
Okay.
It's fine. Yeah, that was a great clue. Now you are a Doctor Who fan. I
think that is fair to say. Yes.
Who is your Doctor? Who is your favourite?
I'm Tom Baker. I kind of grew up in that era. Although I can actually remember John Pertwee turning into Tom Baker. So yes. Cool. Which was traumatic. It's traumatic when your Doctor goes.
You lose the Doctor, I know. It's really sad. I did make a little Doctor Who quiz for you to see. I'm not saying that you don't have the credentials, but just double checking how much you know. Is that okay?
This could go very badly.
let's find out. I don't know whether these are difficult or easy, but let's find out.
Well, that's not fair.
Somewhere in the middle. What year was Doctor Who first on TV?
1963.
Yes, straight away. This is a many-parted question.
Okay.
How many people have played Doctor Who, and can you name them? It's quite a difficult one.
William Hartnell.
Yes.
Patrick Troughton. Mm-hmm. John Pertwee. Tom Baker. Peter Davison.
Yeah.
Did he turn into Colin Baker?
He did, yes.
And then... Oh, no. Sylvester.
Yeah.
McCoy. And then we had a break.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had Christopher Eccleston.
Who was in between the break, though?
Oh, yes, of course. The brothers. There's many of them. They're very good actors. It was a film. It was an American film.
The McGann.
McGann. Oh, thank you. Okay. There was one of the McGann brothers whose name I can't remember.
Oh, it's Paul. It's fine.
Well, thank you. Okay. And now you've thrown me. So
sorry.
Who was after Chris Eccleston?
You
was
got Eccleston.
It David Tennant?
Yeah.
And then Matt Smith. And then Peter Capaldi. And now we have the lovely Jodie Whittaker.
Smashed it. That was amazing.
Oh, and William Hurt.
I was
John Hurt.
Yeah, I was
John Hurt, not William Hurt.
I didn't know whether John Hurt counted.
Different
or not.
Performance.
Yeah, very different. Very different thing going on there. John Hurt, I was going to give you extra bonus points if you mentioned him. So you've mentioned him.
There
so
you
congratulations.
Go. Thank you.
Which Doctor Who villain is a flat piece of skin stretched on a frame?
Oh, there's something about of Bo. Is that not her?
Oh. No, that's someone else. Or maybe. Oh, maybe it's connected though.
The face. It's not the face of Bo.
Yes. Oh, is maybe. It? Maybe my answer is wrong. My answer I've got down here is Lady Cassandra.
Okay.
But did she have connection to the face of Bo? I feel like that makes sense.
I don't know. No.
It's as if the quizmaster should have done some more research. What does TARDIS stand for?
Time and Relative Dimensions in Space.
Yes. Which doctors did Sarah Jane Smith travel with?
The fourth Doctor.
Yes.
And I guess... she left the fourth Doctor, so that means she must have been with John Pertwee's third Doctor as
she
well.
She was, yeah. Third and fourth Doctors. And finally, what was K-9's catchphrase?
Affirmative.
Yes!
Oh,
yes!
Where did that come from?
That was well answered.
Thank you. Yeah.
Sadly, not all the questions from my end were perfect, but you did very well in the quiz. Congratulations. Do you have more Doctor Who books in the pipeline?
Yes, indeed. There will be one more next year, and I'm about to start writing it, and so I'm very excited to carry on. This one ends with a cliffhanger, and so it sort of carries on straight from where this one finishes off.
So more Jodie Whittaker Doctor Who books on the go.
Yes, indeed.
Perfect. Well, David Solomon, thank you so much for coming into Fun Kids.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
It's time to welcome Imogen into the studio. Imogen is my book expert. How are you doing, Imogen?
I'm good, thank you.
And do you have 5 books to recommend the Fun Kids podcast listeners this week?
I do indeed. And the first one is Unexpected Twist, An Oliver Twisted Tale.
Ooh.
By Michael Rosen and illustrated by Tony Ross, who illustrated all of the David Williams books. And this book is about a little girl called Shona, and she's a new girl in the school, and she finds it hard to stay out of trouble. And that's quite a lot like Oliver Twist.
Yeah.
The boy she's reading about in her English class.
Ah.
If you know the book Oliver Twist by Charles Dickens, it's a very famous tale.
Do you want to hear a little story about that?
Go on.
At school, I had to write a whole essay on the book Oliver Twist, but I didn't read it. I just watched the film and just said I'd read it. It was fine. Got an A. Don't worry about it.
Don't do that, kids.
Don't do that. I was very lucky.
Read the book before you watch any of the films.
Read this book.
Obviously, and definitely read this book. Anyway, and then when she's unexpectedly given a phone by a stranger, Shona comes to learn that some gifts aren't exactly free.
That sounds really exciting. I like a little twist on the Oliver Twist story.
Yeah, it's a twist on a classic, and you kind of get a taste of Oliver Twist alongside this brand new story all about Shona, and it's got great illustrations all the way through it. I love a picture.
Tony Ross is really good as well, isn't he?
Tony Ross is brilliant, and it really brings to life the story of both Oliver Twist and the story of Shona.
Brilliant stuff. So what is the second book that you recommend to us today?
The second book is The Girl with the Shark's Teeth by Kerry Bunnell. So Minnow, great name, like a fish, is very different from the other girls in her town, and there's lots to set her apart from them. So she has quite a lot of pale scars that lie beneath her ears, and she has an affinity with the water, which leaves people a little bit speechless. And the fact that there was a time when in deep, deep water, her body began to glow like a sunken star.
What?
I know.
Okay.
So when her mum gets into trouble and is taken from their boat, because they live on a boat.
Sure.
In the dead of the night, Minnow is all alone with one instruction. Sail to Reykjavik, which is in Iceland.
That's quite a big instruction.
Yeah, and find your grandmother. She will help keep you safe. So Minnow has never sailed on her own before, but the call of the deep is one she's been waiting to answer for her whole life. And perhaps a girl who's lost on land can be found in the wild deep.
That sounds exciting.
Yeah, a super, super exciting story.
Big adventure.
Huge adventure. And if you love kind of the sea and big journeys, because Minnow goes from Brighton to Barbados via Reykjavik and the whole wild deep and the magical bits of the ocean, this one's for you. It's a really interesting read.
Lovely. Thank you very much, Imogen. What is coming up next in your recommendations?
It's another Diary of the Wimpy Kid.
Oh.
It's The Meltdown.
Friend of the show, Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
Yeah, by Jeff Kinney. And this is a brand new one in the Wimpy Kid series. Basically, snow shuts down Greg Heffley's middle school, and his neighbourhood transforms into a wintry battlefield. Rival groups fight over the territory and build massive snow forts and stage epic snowball fights that will make you want to be in a snowball fight.
Brilliant.
I mean, I've never had a snowball fight.
I have, actually.
Is it fun?
It will not surprise you to learn that I lost.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah. But it was fun, yeah. Loved it.
Yeah, great. Well, this will make you want to go and have one. And in the crosshairs of these snowball fights are Greg and his trusty best friend. It's a fight for survival as the friends navigate alliances, betrayals, and gangs in the neighbourhood meltdown. And when all the snow clears, will they emerge as heroes? You will have to read the book to find out.
Oh, I like that, because it's kind of like, it's wintry, but it's not Christmassy. So we're not quite at Christmas just yet, but it's a good one for this time of year.
Definitely. And of course, it's got all the classic signs of a Diary of a Wimpy Kid book. It's got all the pictures. It's written really brilliantly. It's super fun to read, and you're going to love it.
Lovely stuff. What's our fourth pick of the day?
So this one is from a friend of the show, Cornelia Funke. Oh. It's Through the Water Curtain and Other Tales from Around the World. And can I just say, it's such a beautiful book.
I know you shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but literally I'm judging it right now so hard.
Isn't
it looks amazing.
Gorgeous? Yeah, it's lovely. It's kind of blue and it's got these water drops on it with lots of different drawings inside, and it's got little gold sort of leafy bits. And it's beautiful. And as we all know, Cornelia has always been fascinated by fairy tales. And they kind of influence her storytelling as well, if you've read some of her previous books. And this is kind of like an anthology, a collection of stories that challenge the traditional happily ever after fairy tales. So from Germany to Siberia, from Japan to Vietnam, the collection includes lots of tales from around the world, including The Girl Who Gave a Knight a Kiss Out of Necessity, The Frog Princess, The Boy Who Drew Cats, and lots of other tales. It's such a good book. And also, top tip, if you're looking to give someone a Christmas present who loves fairy tales and loves kind of travelling and kind of lots of different cultures, I think this would be a great gift.
I am stealing that from the Fun Kid Studio. I know exactly who I'm going to give it to.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Imogen, for that.
No
and
worries.
Finally, oh my goodness, I can see the classic. The last one is a good one.
The last one is a good one. We've had these books in the top five picks before in the book club. It's Liz Pichon. It's a Tom Gates book. What Monster?
Lovely, Liz. What is going on in the newest Tom Gates book then?
So this book contains monsters, mystery, a music festival, missing stuff, and Tom Gates, of course.
Obviously.
And also a very strict supply teacher, but don't let that put you off, it says. If you love Tom Gates, obviously you're going to read this book. If you love monsters, you're going to read this book. It's really entertaining. Of course, it has all the pictures, all the fun words.
Tom Gates books are the kind of books you can also dip in. You don't have to have like started at the beginning. You can probably dip in now and it'll be absolutely fine.
You could pick any page and be entertained.
Yes.
And that's the kind of beauty of Liz Pichon and her Tom Gates books.
I gave a Tom Gates book to one of my little relatives recently and he loved it.
Perfect. Yeah. See, another great Christmas gift.
Yeah, perfect. Brilliant. Well, thank you so much, Imogen, for popping by. I'll see you soon for some Christmas picks, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Lovely stuff. Next up, we're going to chat to Matt Haig. He is an incredible author and he's got a brand new book out called The Truth Pixie.
Hi, Bex. Nice to be here.
Thank you so much for coming back to the studio.
No, I had to. It's always great fun.
Now, I've got to say, I love your brand new book.
Thank you.
So much. The Truth Pixie is out. I'm holding it right now. Listeners can't
You are indeed holding it, man. It's nice to see you holding it.
Holding it at you.
Yes, exactly.
Tell us a little bit about The Truth Pixie, because she's a character from a previous book.
She is a character from a previous book. She's a character from my Christmas books, the first one being A Boy Called Christmas. But she, this is a totally sort of standalone book, and it is just her story. I wanted, because she was always my favourite character to write. You know, I write books for children and for grown-ups, and I never have more fun than when I'm writing about the Truth Pixie. The Truth Pixie basically is a pixie who's got a special condition where she can only tell the truth. So, you know, however much she might want to lie out of politeness or something, she has to tell the truth. So it gets her into all kinds of bother, because sometimes lies are a little bit useful and the Truth Pixie can't do it. But so this is a story about how the Truth Pixie learns to accept herself as a Truth Pixie, and how she also even manages to use her power of telling the truth to cheer up a rather little sad little human girl.
Oh, yes. Is it Ada or Ada, or how are you pronouncing it?
Ada. Ada. I think, yes. It's a real-life name from Finland, because it's set in Finland, which is kind of where Father Christmas lives in Lapland and all of that stuff. So Ada, yes, she's from Helsinki.
And in the book, I mean, telling the truth is a bit of a curse sometimes.
It is a massive curse. It's a massive curse, for instance, when a troll asks her what she thinks of him, because then she has to say what she thinks of him, and he's a big stinky troll. So she actually tells the truth about him and how he's not a very nice person because he, or not a nice troll person because he stomps around and creates earthquakes and stuff. And also, like, if someone asks her, How is she doing? What's her day like? How are you, Truth Pixie? She has to say how terrible she feels or if she's having a bad, and she'll stand there for about 20 minutes telling the truth because that's what she's got to do.
That is some people's worst nightmare, isn't it? Exactly. Like, I guess I have to tell you, everything's awful. And also, at the nearer the end of the book, there is some really lovely advice.
Yeah, she basically, because she meets a girl who's having a bit of a bad time because, you know, this girl's moving house and she's got a poorly grandmother and various things going on. And she tells the girl that, yes, these are horrible things, but she also gives her some very, very good reasons to be cheerful about her future.
I've got to say, reading the book, I was like, I could use this advice. You must have a lot of grown-ups and adults who are going to read it being like, yes, please.
Yeah, well, I hope so. I mean, like all books, I mean, I know, like, when you have a book published, they have to decide whether it's a children's book or a grown-ups book. And obviously, this is a children's book. But I think when you write your best books, you're kind of writing it for yourself. And I'm like 43 years old, so I'm a rather old child, but I'm still a child. But yeah, I hope lots of people find it cheering.
And did you try it out on your kids?
I more than tried it out, yes. I even had editorial suggestions.
Oh, wow.
About it. My daughter, Pearl, who is now 9, but she was about 8 at the time, she said, oh, you need a talking rabbit in it, Dad. You've got to have a talking rabbit. I said, why?
Obviously.
I said, why? Why specifically a talking rabbit? She says, talking rabbits make everything better. And she's kind of right. It was a good logic to it. So there's a talking rabbit. And and also got both of my children, Lucas and Pearl, to read it aloud because it's a rhyming book. And if you get your rhymes wrong, it just sounds really clunky. So we had them read it lots.
Was it difficult to write a poetry book?
It was, but it's fun. It's fun doing a rhyming book. And also, yeah, so really, it's like a one big, long poem. And poems are fun. And it's fun trying to make it look like you're finding the right word rather than you're finding it just because it rhymes. I think that's a hard bit.
That's quite a skill, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, and you don't always get it right, but you have to sort of redo it and redo it and redo it until it sounds right.
Now, we should also mention you have your other three Christmas books as well.
I do, yes.
They're all finally out together.
Mr. Christmas. I am Mr. Christmas. They are A Boy Called Christmas.
Yes.
That was the first one. Then there's The Girl Who Saved Christmas. And then there's the brand new one, Father Christmas and Me.
So how are you finding being the King of Christmas?
It's very nice. I mean, often the weird thing is when you write a book, you're not necessarily writing it at the time it's set. So I wrote some of these books in like January and March, but it's quite nice on a grey day to be transported back to December the 25th.
And in Father Christmas and Me, it's all about the Easter Bunny kind of like battling.
Easter
out.
Bunny. There's the Easter Bunny. We've got lots of elves. We've got the human girl, Amelia, a different girl, not Ada, Amelia, who is living with Father Christmas and the elves. And she's having to start elf school as well. So lots of fun things happen to her, realising that actually elf school is very different to human school.
Did you get a lot of input from your kids for that one as well? Basically, what I'm saying is, it's giving you the ideas, you're just writing them down.
Yeah, well, definitely. I mean, of all of these books, all of those Christmas books, were because a few years ago, my son Lucas asked me a question, and the question was, what was Father Christmas like as a boy? And that was the first book, A Boy Called Christmas. So it all came from one little question that my son asked me when he was 7.
And so now you've got all of these books out, I think perfect for Christmas, and also the most beautiful illustrations as well.
Chris Mould, absolutely. Yeah, he's stuck by me now for 4 books. So we've got, and I think, you know, it gets better book by book. So in Father Christmas and Me, and the Truth Pixie in particular, the illustrations are, I think he's done his best ever. And he's absolutely brilliant, yes.
They perfectly match, definitely. Now, you've been in here before. I always do a little quiz with you, Matt.
Oh, we're doing this again.
I'm afraid so, yeah.
Okay,
sorry.
I'll wind my brain up.
Okay, no, this quiz, because you've done my author quiz.
I have.
And last time you were here, I did a Christmas quiz for you. And I was thinking.
What have we got now? Go on.
The Truth Pixie. I thought I'd do a truth or false.
Ah.
About pixies.
See what you're doing.
You see, I've run with the theme.
This is great.
I've done some research.
Yes.
It's a simple 5-question
Let's do it.
It's fine. But I want to know true or false, basically. How much do you actually know about pixies? I'm going to hide the answers from you. Yeah, that's right.
I'm going to fail my exams.
I don't know. Maybe we'll send you back to elf school. It's fine. Okay, first one. The folklore of pixies is thought to belong to Cornwall. True or false?
I'm going with true.
It is true, yes. There you go. I've eased you in gently. That's fine. Pixie comes from the Latin for pig's eye.
I'm going with false.
Yeah, correct. Made that up. It's possibly Swedish for little fairy. It's just testing you. Okay. Queen of Cornish pixies is called Joan the Wad.
Maybe.
I don't think there's not a maybe in true or false.
True.
True. Yes, it's true. Yes. She's officially the Queen of the Pixies. Maybe. Get on over on me, Matt Haig.
True, false, or maybe. It's my favourite game.
There's no winners, no losers. True or false? The official mascot of the Pixie is the unicorn.
False.
That is false.
Yes.
Unicorn is the official mascot of Scotland. Not pixies.
Oh, so. There you go. Absolutely. You have plenty of unicorns in Scotland. So that's why I always love going up there.
And finally, there is a day called Pixie Day in June. True or false?
True.
True. Yes, it's true. Well done. It's reenacted every year. And they apparently, where it's reenacted, they capture the town bell ringer and they basically kidnap somebody in
the
village.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Because pixies are naughty, I guess.
Yes, they are. Can be quite mischievous, yeah.
So luckily, none of that happening in your book.
Well, no, naughty things happen, but not that particular naughty thing.
No. So we should say The Truth Pixie is out pretty much right now. All good bookshops will
it's
have it.
Out right now, yes. And I'm very pleased to say it is flying off the shelves with lots of pixies ordering it.
It is a beautiful book. I've read it and absolutely genuinely loved it. And we've also got all of your Christmas books as well as King
we
of Christmas.
We have indeed, yes. So, yeah. Christmas is all year round in our house, so yeah.
Brilliant, I'd love that. Thank you so much for popping by, Matt.
Thank you, Bex. That was amazing.
Thanks. So, because we've got Matt Haig with us right now, we thought we'd get him to do a little reading from the book.
In a land 2,000 miles from here is a place where snow falls all the year. There you find trolls and goblins and elves and talking rabbits, rather pleased with themselves. Other odd creatures live there as well, like this truth pixie, whose tale I shall tell. Truth pixie's sad, as she's not like the others. She's not like her 19 sisters or 38 brothers. She's not like her brother Brian, who dances and sings. She's not like her sister Silver, with bright shiny wings. She can't tell stories, she can't sing songs, she can't do magic, she can't right wrongs. In fact, for a pixie, she is quite peculiar. And the reason for that is her great aunt Julia. When she was young, Aunt Jay cast a spell. She said, "From this day on, the truth you shall tell. To be the truth pixie, that is her curse. She must tell the truth, for better or worse."
Thank you so much to Matt Haig for popping by, Fun Kids, and for doing that reading. Also to Jacqueline Wilson and to David Solomons as well. I think I've got time to give you the answer to my trivia question. I reckon you got it, though. The question was, which one of these isn't a character in The Wind in the Willows? Was it Mr. Hedgehog, Otter, or Mr. Badger? Well, I can tell you the answer was, of course, Mr. Hedgehog. Thank you so much to you for listening to this podcast. If you enjoyed it, subscribe, like, tell your friends about it, drop us a line at funkidslive.com, and we will see you very, very, very soon. Bye! So that was a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB Digital Radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.